Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Silver, good morning to you. Before we get to some actual topics here, I don't know if you heard Dave Schwann's far-flung forecast about the development of the polio vaccine. It was, you know, on this day, 1954. Is polio still a factor anywhere in the world right now?
Well, unfortunately, it is. As you mentioned, the vaccine developed by Jonas Salk in 1954, and, just been a huge public health win for the world, really. Polio can lead to paralysis and death, and the vaccine is very safe. But unfortunately, there's a lot of areas in the world that don't have access to this. And so polio crops up in those regions, and it still is a problem.
You know? Wow, after all these years, isn't that amazing? You would think that humanitarian efforts would have gotten it to, you know, impoverished places that might not be as medically advanced. But I guess these kinds of things still pop up every once in a while, huh?
They do, and you allude to the humanitarian efforts. That's one of the benefits of outreach is helping to minimize the risk that these viruses spread, because, of course, they can come back to us and bite us in the end. So that's a very important piece of it.
Yeah, which really kind of ties into what I think is the big medical story of the week, certainly for us here in Illinois, where the first sighting of measles has taken place in the state of Illinois, something that we thought was gone, that we had eradicated. And now is making a comeback big time in some places, but now sneaking into Illinois as well.
Yeah, it's here. It's 30 jurisdictions, 29 states, and the city of New York have all reported measles activity. And that's the reporting. That's not necessarily everywhere that it is, of course. I'll remind your listeners, Dean, measles is the most contagious virus known to man. It's 10 times more contagious than Ebola. So just to put it into context, it's extremely easy to pass along. I'll also mention that in communities that are 95% immunized, it basically cannot spread. So that is that's the barrier to these epidemics and these outbreaks, rather, is immunization. And, of course, herd immunity does contribute to that as well. But it's a serious virus, and it can be lethal. As some folks know, 3 people this year have died out of roughly 1,000 people that have been infected, and it's just an awful disease. The other crazy thing about measles that I've just mentioned is the concept of immune amnesia, and amnesia is just a medical term for forgetting. The immune system, for one reason or another, we don't truly understand it, when it's attacked by measles, can lose its memory of other diseases that you developed immunity to, whether you've been immunized or not. So let's say that you, before you got measles, you had strep throat. Well, measles can wipe out those, what they're called B cells or memory cells of the immune system that are, they're essentially warriors. That fight off the disease any other time that you see it after you first get it. Well, those warrior cells have a memory of it. They recognize it when they see it, and they destroy it immediately, which is how your immune system functions so well. Well, measles wipes that out, and so you basically start again from ground zero with majorly reduced immunity. So it's one of the more nasty side effects of this virus that people don't really talk about as much.
Wow, I had never heard that before. And, that could be complications of measles, I guess, right?
Correct. So it's the gift that keeps on giving in not a very nice way.
All right. Well, since, we now know that it's been reported in Illinois, we should be more concerned about it. What should people be doing now? Going to their doctors and getting a booster shot, obviously, if it's as contagious as you say, maybe washing your hands and wearing a mask isn't enough if it's, you know, airborne and it's going to find a way in regardless.
Certainly wearing a mask can help, and washing your hands, I would definitely recommend always. It's a great, easy way to keep illness at bay. But I would just recommend keeping an eye open. The signs of measles, particularly in kids, are high fever and a rash that starts at the top of the head and spreads to the feet. So those would be the two things that I would look for. And then the combination of cough, runny nose, and conjunctivitis. That triad of symptoms, along with a high fever, would definitely raise my suspicion. You can certainly, if you've been vaccine hesitant, nobody's judging, go ahead and talk to your doctor about maybe getting vaccinated. It's never too late, and it can always help. And if that's not on the cards, certainly masking up. And if your kids are sick, have a conversation with a pediatrician, or certainly bring them to us in the emergency room. We're happy to take a look.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and answer some of your calls and texts for Dr. Jeremy Silver, 312-981-7200. Hi, Annette. Welcome to You're On with Dr. Silver.
Oh, thank you so much. If I don't start my week with you, it's not a good week.
You are too kind. Thank you very, very much.
You're so welcome. Yeah, I heard that there's a certain years, I don't know, like 53 or 58 or something like that, where the shot wasn't that effective and you might need a booster. Is there something to that?
You're talking about a polio booster, right?
Right, the polio, yeah.
Or you're talking the polio booster. I'm sorry, I was initially thinking the MMR booster. Let me do a little research on that.
No.
Why don't we start with the MMR booster? First, explain what that is, Dr. Silver.
Sure. So the MMR vaccine is given twice. Once at about a year to 18 months, and then another around 5 years old. And there was a time in the 50s and 60s where that didn't occur. And so it's recommended that folks that were born in that era or were of childhood age in that era just have a talk with their physician about where they're at. Not everybody needs it, and I don't know the exact years, and there may be other factors that I'm not aware of, but what I tell people is, if you were born in the 50s and 60s and you're concerned about your immune status, go see your doctor. And what they might do is they might draw something called a titer, which essentially is a measurement of how many immune cells you have against a certain a pathogen like measles, and in this case MMR just stands for measles, mumps, and rubella. It's a three virus vaccine given together. So that would be my recommendation on that. In terms of the polio, I'm not certain about time frame. Polio is a little bit more complex, and I would refer you to a primary care doctor for more information on that, so I don't speak out of turn.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I heard something last week, and I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. We have so many people on the line. Annette, thank you for the call. So many people on the line with questions about this. One is, I was born in 65. My wife was born in 67. Do we need a shot for measles? That would fall out of the range that you were talking about of 50s and 60s, I think, right?
Yeah, without knowing the exact dates and times, it becomes a little bit trickier to give recommendations. So I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah. Okay.
But I would just say if you're born in the 50s and 60s, talk to your doctor.
Check with your doctor.
That makes it a safe recommendation.
847 has, I think, an interesting question. What's the difference between measles and German measles? I've always wondered that myself.
Yeah. So measles, The technical name for measles is rubeola, and German measles is rubella. Now, German measles or rubella is, again, they're different viruses, and they can both cause problems. But German measles or rubella is more dangerous during pregnancy. It can spread to the baby and cause very, very serious lifetime complications and death. So we worry more about the infant and the pregnant mother with German measles or rubella. And then measles, of course, we've talked about extensively.
And the 847 area code, I'm a 73-year-old who had measles as a child. Do I still have immunity or do I need a vaccine?
Yeah, great question. That's, you know, the fact that that you're 73 and that you had measles, likely you've still got great immunity to it. There may be some benefit from a booster, and the only reason I say that is I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, okay? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before these recent spate of outbreaks, when we had mass immunity, probably not worth the time and the very, very tiny risks that are associated with any vaccine, okay? And now, because it's so widespread and the immune system is aging, I also don't know that individual's health status, what other medical conditions they may have. Certainly something worth at least talking to the doctor about and saying, would it make sense?
Yeah, that's why it's so important to, I mean, we're happy to try to answer your questions as best we can in a general sense here on the air, but without knowing, you know, very definite specifics about your case, it's impossible for Dr. Silver to make specific recommendations on things. That's why, you know, we say, check with your doctor, you know, check with your physician, because hopefully he or she would have a greater knowledge of your health history. Because that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
A huge difference. You know, what healthcare, you know, as much information as is available online and as many cases as I've seen, I can certainly give general advice. But at the end of the day, it really is a very personal business. And every interaction that we have as members of the healthcare community, doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, et cetera, it's very much tailored to that one interaction, and the advice given to one person may be different than we give to another.
Yeah. The news this week about the death of Steve McMichael, we talked about ALS on several occasions over the years, but it's a neuromuscular disease, isn't it? And the system just, you know, slowly breaks down. It takes away your control of your muscular system, which basically controls everything in the body, right?
Terrible disease. It's a progressive disease, meaning once it starts, it doesn't stop, and it just basically destroys the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. And like you say, it leads to weakness and paralysis and eventually, unfortunately, death. There are sort of versions of the disease. So there's kind of a longer lived version of the disease where you can kind of, your life is, you know, extended as long as you're able to keep some of those problems that occur with ALS at bay. Stephen Hawking being a primary example, the brilliant physicist who lived in a wheelchair for years. But that's really the exception, not the rule. Most people are gone in a very short period of time.
Dr. Jeremy Silver is the medical director of emergency medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital, and I hope you have a great week, Doc. Thanks so much.
Hey, Dean, thank you. Have a good one.